Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday. So, as you know, we have a Senate race. Josh Hawley, the incumbent, Jared Young, who's the independent, who we've had on the show, Lieutenant Colonel Lucas Kuntz, who is sitting next to me right now. We've talked to Jared. We're now going to talk to Lucas. And in fairness, I'm just telling the truth, Josh Hawley doesn't return our phone calls. I don't know if I hurt his feelings along the way or what it is, but there are a lot of Republicans like that. When I was on 97.1, anyone would talk to me. I think I was fair then. I think I'm fair now. But, yeah, so the door's open.
You're scary, Dave.
Is that what it is?
You're scary.
So intimidating?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Colonel, very nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for your service. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the paycheck all those years, brother.
Right. We're just talking about it. I lost my mom in 97. Lucas said, you should have been in the military. Those benefits go all the way. So
yeah, that's right.
I'm clearly living. I'm just going to be a brain in a jar somewhere, an eyeball in a wheelchair. So I've seen your ads. That's about all I know about you. Tell the story and introduce yourself to the KMOX audience in a little longer form.
I'll do that. You know, first I want to say how fun it is to be here because my great-grandpa actually had a store 3 blocks from here at Tucker in Washington. So I brought a picture of it. I'll show you later. But it's the R.W. Kuntz Millery. So
very cool.
Awesome.
It was pretty cool. They lost it during the Depression, and then he actually died in a car accident a couple years later. And so my family made it to Mid, Missouri. And, you know, my parents are just basically like your typical Mid, Missouri folks. They got married at 19 and 22 years old, and they were Catholic. I don't know if you guys know any Catholics.
Born and raised.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens when you follow the rules then, right? Kid, and then that paycheck-to-paycheck lifestyle. That was it for us. And so, you know, grew up in mid-Missouri, working-class neighborhood. And the reason my parents stopped at 4 kids is because when my littlest sister was born, she had a heart condition. She was actually immediately airlifted up here to St. Louis, taking the children's hospital, and just really scary time for us. And, you know, I remember watching my parents struggle, not just because they didn't know if their little girl was going to survive, which must have been absolute hell, right? But also because, you know, the way our system is built in this country, like, they didn't know how we were going to make it as a family. And, you know, ultimately we went bankrupt from that. And the reason we made it's because, you know, the people in our neighborhood who had no more money than we did, right? This is a working class neighborhood. I mean, they passed the plate down to my mom's prayer group for us. They brought more food by the house than we could eat. They took me and my siblings, other siblings, into their houses for weeks at a time while my parents were up here for surgeries. And it's just, you know, that's the strength we got in our communities. I love the way we take care of one another here in Missouri. I joined the United States Marine Corps to protect and serve that community. You know, all I wanted to do is pay everybody back for taking care of us through those years. And I did 13 years on active duty. I led a police training team in Iraq. I deployed to Afghanistan twice, and, you know, here we are, trying to take power back for everyday Missourians like the folks in that old neighborhood.
I know it's a big, broad question with a million answers, but I always like to ask veterans who were deployed, how was that? Like, were you on high alert? Were you scared all the time, or did it just become normal life in a weird way?
You know, when we were on base, we'd get indirect fire and things like that, and, you know, for me, it's just kind of you accept things you can't control, and I hope it's not you, right? However, I also, in Iraq, I led a police training team, 12 Marines and a Navy corpsman, on dozens of missions outside the wire. And, you know, my job was to plan our routes, go through the intelligence, conduct our mission, and try to bring those guys home safely. And, you know, thank God we accomplished that, got them everybody home. I think, you know, the hardest thing for me, actually, after all those deployments, really, was just watching our country light $6.4 trillion on fire, essentially, supposedly like nation building over there, and coming back to the community that I grew up in and just seeing it absolutely fall apart. You know, down in that old neighborhood, the first house I lived in now is an empty lot. The one that, you know, everybody brought food by and that I joined the Marine Corps, like I signed my papers out of that house. It's boarded up to keep the squatters out. The little store on the corner where my sister and I, when we were like 8 and 6 years old, would just walk by ourselves to go buy candy, like perfectly safe. It was shut down a few years ago because it was robbed so many times it couldn't get insurance anymore. And it's just, I don't like that. I don't like the fact that no one's investing in this state and our, you know, neighborhoods are falling apart. Our jobs are being outsourced overseas. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm running for the U.S. Senate seat.
When did you get your first sort of inkling about you might want to be involved in politics? How long's it been?
You know, it really was when I was, as a kid, I always thought it was interesting. And then, one of the guys who really helped out our family when I was a kid, his name was Al, and he was the Cole County treasurer. So he was in politics, and he kind of encouraged me to do it when I was young. And then I ended up joining the Marine Corps because of him. He's also a Marine veteran. He went down. He deployed to Vietnam. He'd take me down to the Marine Corps League when I was a kid to, hang out with the guys down there. And, I just wanted to be like those guys. They were my heroes. Yeah. They took care of their community, despite the fact a lot had been drafted. They had horrible stories about their time in Vietnam, losing their friends, coming home, being treated like trash. And, despite how they felt, they still took care of all of us like it was nothing. And so I wanted to be like them. I was like Al by becoming a Marine, and now I think I'm like Al for, wanting to stand up and take care of my community through this Senate seat.
So like I said, I am right down the middle, maybe shade a little bit right, completely not MAGA. They lost me on that. But this is a compliment. You give off a more conservative vibe, with the military and, tough on the border and so forth. What is it that made you go the other way? Or have you always been sort of a left-leaning guy?
Well, Al was a Democrat. And so, it makes a difference when that's kind of what your hero is, right? And when I talk about Al, I don't think I've really captured it quite well enough. He died this summer. And it was really, it was a tough thing. He was out on the campaign trail with me a couple times. And I just, if we have a second, can I tell a story about the man?
Absolutely.
So, because I think this is where my desire to serve comes from. When we were kids, my parents did everything they could, despite the fact that we had no money, to put a sense of service into us. And so down at our parish, we had this hall, Plois Hall, where there was a kitchen. And like once a month, we would have these soup kitchens where anybody could come by and get some food. And so Al actually ran the parish soup kitchen and ran the kitchen in general. And so every time, my parents would take us, my older sister and I, we would go in there and Al would ask all the kids, what chores do you guys want to do, right? Do you want to set the tables? Do you want to hand out food? Do you want to greet people as they come in? You want to do the dishes? Are you going to clear the tables? All this stuff. And my sister and I, we were always like, ooh, we want to do the dishes. We want to do the dishes. We want to do the dishes. And Al's like, what is wrong with these two kids, right? What type of kids want to do the dishes? But what Al didn't realize was that, doing the dishes at home with a big family, man, that was 45 minutes of hard labor. And I can tell you right now, when mom's not scraping the pots and pans afterwards, she don't care what gets stuck on those things. She doesn't soak them or anything. And so, my sister and I were used to spending all this time just like grinding everything out, moving it over, rinsing it, racking it, and then hand drying, putting it all away, right? And of course, at the parish, they had these magical things called dishwashers. And so, everybody just bring the plates to us. We just throw them in there and walk away. We thought we were scamming this old man. We're like, Al thinks we're doing the dishes. He's such an idiot, right? And eventually Al figured that out and thought it was kind of funny. And, eventually, after time passed, those dinners kind of ended, or we grew out of them. And, several years later, during the summer, we got a knock at the door. And, nowadays, my kids don't even look up if someone comes to the door. But before iPads, man, if there was a knock at the door, that was everything, man. Yes, exactly. That was big time. So, we all of us kids run to the door. We open it up. My mom's there. We all run out barefoot. And Al standing on the porch just like rubbing his hands together, mischievous look in his eye. And he's like, come here, kids. I want to show you something. And his big blue pickup truck is right out front. One of my first cars, I got to be like him. I got a 1982 Dodge Ram, powder blue, because it was very similar to the one he had. But he brought us all out there. He slams down the tailgate, and he's like, look up there. You know what that is? And we look up into his truck, and it's a, sure enough, there's a dishwashing machine sitting there. And so Al had renovated his kitchen years later, remembered those kids who didn't have a dishwasher and were so excited to do the dishwasher to do the dishes at church. And, he loaded his old one up in the back of his truck, brought it by our house, called up one of his buddies and had it installed for us. And it's just, everybody's talking about masculinity and politics and all this crazy stuff now. And it's like, that's a man who showed what it truly is, right? It's about taking care of people who, you're not even necessarily that close to, but like people in your community in need without any expectation of glory or anything. Like, I wasn't going to get anything for that. In fact, it was probably a headache for him to take it out, bring it over to our house, call up his buddy and spend an afternoon doing that. But he did it anyway. And I think that's what we're missing in our politics. I think it's what we're missing in the U.S. Senate. We have people who don't understand that. We have people who only care about themselves, and we have people who don't get what it's like for, you know, to grow up as an everyday Missourian and believe those values.
Do you ever fear? It seems to me that Washington must be magical, because I've never done anything in my life. I've done a lot of fun things, but I've never done anything that I would compromise myself for. But boy, they just do it right and left. It just must be so sweet. You ever worry about getting there and finding out what the magic is?
No, man. I already know how gross it is. So I was stationed at the Pentagon. I spent 4 years at the Pentagon. I worked for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And actually, I volunteered to extend and stayed a year and worked for the Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering under Donald Trump. So I worked, you know, in that administration. I went through a lot of hearings in Congress. And I think one of the things that really disappointed me was I was doing procurement at the end there. And so, you know, very boring, completely unsexy. Our job was like to try to buy stuff from small businesses and get small businesses in the DOD ecosphere, basically. So I'd go watch these hearings in Congress, and it was just crazy because all these politicians who should have been worrying about diversity in the DOD sort of industrial base, they were treating these hearings as if they were like stock portfolio meetings, because they all own stock in these companies. You know, it's just, you see these people making decisions based on who finances their campaigns and what their stock portfolios are. I mean, I don't think they should own, I think if you're a member of Congress, you shouldn't own a single stock. I think if you're a federal judge, you shouldn't own a single stock. I think it's compromising. In my campaign, because of what I saw, you know, I take no money from corporate PACs. I take no money from federal lobbyists, no money from big pharma executives, none of those people, because, you know, I've seen what it does. And I'll tell you, too, as a normal guy with no family money trying to run a campaign that way from the beginning, it was hard. Like, people told me it was impossible, but, you know, I think it's impossible to represent. There's people you're supposed to represent if you do take that money. So yeah, we decided to do it my way. And, you know, we've done all right, I think.
What is it about Josh Hawley, whether it's policy or character, that you think that he should be retired?
The man's literally waged war on the neighborhood that I signed up to protect and serve. You know, as our attorney general, the first thing he did was dismantle the division of that office that was meant to protect us from the corporate predators that funded his campaign. Next thing he does is he leads a lawsuit that took away overtime pay from over 200,000 Missourians. Cost us working people $27 million every single year. And I mean, like, that's the money we use to take up or to take care of a neighborhood like the one that I grew up in, right? Which, I, as I said before, is completely falling apart. It's the money that everybody used to take care of me and our family. It's the money that people use to buy, you know, a second pair of shoes for their kids during the school year. It's something I watch my parents struggle with over and over again. And, you know, I think there's a very big difference between him and the Republicans that came before him. Like, if you look at Roy Blunt, his last 2 years in office, he brought more than $300 million a year back to this state in projects. Projects you can see absolutely everywhere. Josh Hawley, zero every single year, and he's going to continue that for the next 6 years. Like, frankly, the best reason to fire him is because we can't afford another 6 years of him in this state. Like, we don't have the investment we need. Our companies are leaving, and we got to build. We got to build here. We got to bring money back. And if the guy's not going to do it, then he needs to go, because I'm tired of seeing neighborhoods like the one I grew up in fall apart.
I know you have a lot of experience at the border. I don't expect you to have the answer, but what are some answers?
Yeah, so, you know, before I led the police training team in Iraq, I trained with the Border Patrol at the southern border. I was originally scheduled to go to Iraq on a police or on a border training team. So I had to get all the border training with the Border Patrol guys. Their tactical unit certified me. And, you know, there are some pretty clear answers that we could have here. You know, one of them is to fully fund and equip Border Patrol. They're incredibly undermanned and under-equipped. We need to end the catch and release program. And, you know, we need to stop the flow of fentanyl, right? And so the sad thing for me is that I've seen Josh Hawley vote against every single one of those things. You know, I talked about Roy Blunt earlier. Roy Blunt negotiated a Republican-led deal that Donald Trump signed for the border in like 2019. Josh Hawley voted against it. When funding for fentanyl scanners, like the thing that's literally going to keep us the safest, like most of the fentanyl is the number one killer in our state right now for people who aren't 97 like your mom was, right? Like, he voted against funding for fentanyl scanners. And when the guys who trained me down at the border endorsed a deal this year, he voted against that deal too. And it's like, the guy doesn't want to keep us safe. He doesn't want to have the border secure because he wants it as a campaign issue. And, you know, as a Marine, that's not what I'm about. I'm about accomplishing the mission and moving on to the next mission, not keeping something for political reasons. And so, you know, those are the things that I want to do. And it's no, like, It's no secret that the border is a wreck right now. We have to do something. We got to make these investments. We got to support those guys who are down there on the front line, you know, keeping our country safe every day.
So finally, I feel confident that you're going to get the Democrat votes. I think there's never been an election in my memory where Democrats had a better shot at some reasonable-minded Republicans. Talk to the Republicans out there in the audience and let them know why you would be a safe choice.
If you want to secure the border, if you want to bring money back to this state and invest here, I'm the only guy who's going to do it. Like, that's it. I got a real record of service, and I want to continue that right here. I mean, this state is literally everything to me. Missouri's everything to me. It's seventh generation Missourian. My great-great-grandpa, the father of the guy who had the store down the street from here, he founded Missouri's first veterans home after the Civil War down in St. James. Like, it's in my blood. I want to take care of all of us. I want to bring the money home. And I can tell you right now, like, I will work with either president from any party. I'll work with any one member of Congress to bring money home, to invest in our state, and to protect our rights. Like, Josh Hawley, he doesn't care about our rights. He doesn't care about our state. He doesn't invest in us. Like, the only thing he's interested in is deciding how we get to live. I think Missourians are smart enough to decide for themselves, man.
It's Lieutenant Colonel Lucas Kuntz. Lucas, very nice to meet you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
27, went a little long there with Lucas Kuntz. Kev, take a minute and talk about the upcoming match with the Reds.
So they got the Reds starting tomorrow at Busch Stadium. If you just want the big picture, here's the big picture. The Cardinals are 6 games out of the third wild card spot with 19 games left. So
everyone's got to lose. We got to win.
Basically, yes. You're going to need to win 15 out of the 19. And really, before this past weekend, it's not like they were playing badly. They played well for a long stretch. They did not play well this past weekend. Didn't hit. And then, obviously, some of their starting pitchers got beat up a little bit. But you're not out. You're not mathematically eliminated, but you're very close. You lose 2 or 3 games in a row, and you're pretty much out. So then we ask, do you start looking at next year? Or do you keep just playing for the rest of this year to avoid a losing season?